Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that we change from glory to glory into the very image of you. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you that it's your truth. Thank you, Lord, that it is your love, it's your grace, it's your mercy, it's your faith that you have given to us, Lord God. Oh, yes. Now the sons of God. Oh, God, let it hit us in a new dimension and understanding this morning. Lord, what we have been born into. Born of God. Hallelujah. The new man lives in us. All things, all them old things are passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. Thank you, Jesus, for that wondrous, wondrous blood that did it all. And we give you the praise in your name now and forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles this morning to Timothy, the first epistle of Timothy. And today we hit the finale, praise God. I feel like that each time, and the Lord says, oh, son, you hadn't seen nothing yet. But I do look at this as such a highlight in these last few Sundays we've joined together. And he's brought us together, we know that. But we've been entering into, I believe, a new vein in this wondrous motherlode of grace. A place where there's been an increase of knowledge and appreciation of the incredible depths and the heights, and how unimaginable are the dimensions, truly, of all grace. All grace that we have been so freely given by Jesus Christ, us, the sons of God. And we began a couple weeks back in a grace called hyperbolo in the Greek. Hyperbolo grace is exceeding abundant, unmerited favor and love. See, that's how it begins with our precious Lord. It's not just, well, it's unmerited love and favor. I mean, it's exceeding abundant, unmerited love and favor. Praise God. But then last week, we were encouraged and grew a little bit more up in this grace. And it was hyperperisuo grace. And that grace is above the exceeding abundant grace. It's super exceeding abundant grace. It's the grace that's so abundant and super exceeding, it's more than enough grace. It was like the remains of when he fed that 5,000 with just those fishes and loaves, and yet there were remains left over. Praise God. That's the kind of exceeding grace we're talking about here. Leftover unmerited favor. Leftover unmerited love of God. I believe what he's trying to tell us, you'd never exhaust it. Amen. It's just, it's like, well, Lord, I've received your grace, but, you know, I've come to a place in my life, I've failed so much, I've just walked in unbelief so long. Oh, well, here's some more grace. It's just grace all over the place. And that's truly what this is. The grace for grace, it compounds infinitely. But God, and you know, I love him. I love when he does that. Takes you to a place where you think, you know, Lord, this is just, I've got a little fly in here, maybe a bee. But he said, he takes us to a place, and, but God. It's been amazing, it's been wonderful. I've shown you these things. And oftentimes when he takes us to that place of where it's but God, is he's shown you all that grace and mercy and all of that, but then here comes another sea. Here comes another army, another giant just showed up in the land. And you hadn't seen that giant before. That's a different body of water. Doesn't matter, it's the same God. It's the same God that nothing's hard for him. And that's your life. That's your life. Might about the need of someone to fall in love with. Well, you fell in love. Then you had kids, the needs of your children, and then the needs of teenagers. And I'm talking about the need for the parents for the teenager. And then he brings you to a place where you were always healthy, never had a thought about your health. And then, oh my, that's a different body of water. But it's the same God. Same God, always same God. I am forever faithful. There's never anything hard for me. But see, we hit here. Uh-oh, we do have a wasp in here. Now this is getting funny. All right, Lord, take that wasp away. Now, but God, in his great mercy, brothers and sisters, as he always does, he even has a greater expanse of this grace and of this marvelous love and grace to us. See, this is the God that is never limited. This is the God that never has any limits. And his grace to us, it far exceeds the size of even the ever-expanding universe. And brothers and sisters, here it is. Here it is in this first chapter of the first epistle of Timothy. And let's go ahead and let the Spirit introduce us to hyperpleianonzo grace. And we'll begin reading from the 12th verse. Hyperpleianonzo grace. Get ready. Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, and putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And here we go. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. That's that hyperpleianazo grace. Exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. And this is so marvelous because this is Paul, the pattern of grace. And this so sweetly introduces us to not just exceeding abundant hyperbolo grace, not just the super exceeding hyperparasuo grace, but this is hyperpleianazo grace, which means over and above. It means beyond and exceeding abundant grace, and beyond and exceeding and super exceeding grace. That's the heart of Jesus to us. That's the heart of Jesus to us. Now, brothers and sisters, that is this exceeding grace that Paul is speaking of, that he received in verse 14. And he says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, my. Oh, my. This is only found one time. This word is only found one time in Scripture, and so sweetly, because it's Paul's grace. It's Paul's grace. Now, you're going to say, well, what do you mean by that? I'm talking about it had to be this grace of such exceeding abundant, beyond super exceeding, beyond super exceeding, beyond even leftover grace. Because this was the grace that had to deliver to Paul the faith and love to finish, praise God, with the full joy. It had to be this grace that would give Paul the faith and the love, praise God, to go on. This was the faith and love that Paul had to receive to believe God to completely transform his life from this chief of Pharisee, praise God, to the chosen vessel unto him that would bring forth the mystery of the bride of Christ. This was the grace that would bring the faith and love to Paul, that after he preached this, that ones would come and receive this word from him. And they would come and enjoy and enter in. And he had that fellowship. And yes, God in his faithfulness brought that even a messenger of Satan to buffet Paul. Because with the great knowledge that he was received, God knew that Paul needed the thorn, or that he would be exalted above measure. This was the grace, the super exceeding grace that brought to the Apostle Paul the faith and the love that even after all had turned away, all in Asia had forsaken him, after all of that euphoric fellowship with all of these churches, they all turned away. This was the exceeding, super exceeding grace that gave Paul the faith and the love to trust the Lord as he sat in the prison that final time. And he would write, well, before that he wrote the joy book of a Bible in a prison, but the last time, that's the grace that gave him the faith and love to write to Timothy, "Timothy, I'm now ready to be offered." Oh Lord, this is the ultimate grace, praise God, that will give you faith unfeigned. It has to be this grace. Do you see it? Do you really see this, honeys? Do you see this is why we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he that is full of grace and truth? It truly is. But this is the grace that gives you unfeigned faith. This is what brings us back every single service, every single day, and thanking the Lord, "Lord, I'm living for the one thing, to win you." This is what gives you not just the faith unfeigned, it gives you that love. It gives you the first love. It gives you the love, praise God, that you know what? There isn't any other thing to live for. There isn't anything else that I want to hear. There is no other message. This gives you the grace that Paul received, and you become that passionate warrior just like the Apostle Paul. It's not like that I'm trying to be like Paul. It's the faith and the love that was in Paul that I follow. But how did he receive that? He received it by this grace. Complete. Overflowing. The magnificence of the revelation of what grace can reveal to you in the truth. The grace truly that calls out to you and gives you understanding of these scriptures, of the love scriptures of the Word of God. Grace so immense, yes. Not that I just am given the opportunity, not just that I can rule and reign with him, but by the grace of God, I'm confident in grace that I will rule and reign together with him. Because I'm confident in the grace of God that is with me. That's this grace. That's this grace. I'm confident in the grace to perform the good work which he has begun in me. Oh, well, then let's just go right on over and read about us in that wonderful book of Philippians, the first chapter. The Philippian racehorses that had the same grace. I'll read from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Paul writes to them and says, "Being confident of this very thing," he's speaking of these racehorses, us racehorses, hallelujah. We're running to win. We're not just in the heat to participate. This ain't a trial deal. This isn't a qualifier. This is the final. Praise God, this is it. And he says, being confident. He's speaking to us. The Spirit is speaking to us. Being confident of this very thing, that he, praise God, our precious Lord, He which hath begun a good work, this excellent thing is what that means, the excellent of excellent, that thing, the high calling thing, that's what he's begun in you. That's what he's speaking of to these Philadelphia saints that are in Philippi. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And here's why. Because as it is meet for me, verse 7, to think this of you all. It's just, it's so apparent. It's part of me. Because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. I love that. Paul owns this. These Philippian saints here, he's rejoicing with them. You own it. You have that grace. You get it. You've taken all this grace. That's why you've got this grace with faith and love that I can speak to you here in two chapters. Here it is, all of us that are partakers of my grace. There's but one thing. One thing. The out resurrection. One thing that I may win him. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That's what this grace does. This grace does not hang on to the past. This grace, it don't look back. It's looking forward. It's looking forward. And who's he speaking to? I think of these horses. I've said it many times. I love to watch them horses run. I'm talking about the champions. Some of them horses, they're looking around and all that, but them champions, man, they're looking at it. It's just the finish line, and it's mine. And that finish line is the arms of my bridegroom, and he's mine. And I'm going full press because I have this grace. I have this grace. I've got Paul's grace with all that faith and love that I'm not going to be deterred by the grace of God that is with me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, is it obvious that we need this abundant grace to give us the faith and love to take the high calling message? Amen. It must be this grace. It must be Paul's grace to win him. Without it, we don't enter in and have... See, without it, you don't have that delirious heart. I'm sorry when people criticize me for being excited about the Lord. Shame on you. You should thank the Lord for my life. You should thank the Lord that I love him. And I know it is not me, it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. But it must be this grace. And it does, it gives us that delirious attitude to be in the out resurrection by any means. You have to have this grace to fall in love. Without it, it won't ever happen. You'll believe in it, but it won't be yours. You'll think you're existing in a marriage, but you're not. You abide in the marriage of the Lamb. Because you abide in first love. That's it. And it cannot be anything but this grace that does it. This is the grace that is taken by the full overcomer. This is the grace, praise God, that overcomes all the adversaries, all the naysayers. This is the grace that overcomes the doubters and the haters. But this is the grace, praise God, that overcomes even ourselves. This is it. I mentioned it earlier. This is the grace, praise God, that, oh my, doesn't allow us to get puffed up. This is the grace of God that as we go on with this precious truth, things happen in our life. We get discouraged. We fail. But we realize that when we fail, and sometimes even when you don't believe you can find the faith that's God so freely given, it's once again, it's but God who is rich in mercy. That's the God. And he brings that hyperpleonazo grace. And he brings it to me when I'm down, and he brings it to me when I fail. And he brings it to me, and you know what I do? I rise up, and I reign, and I reign. I reign, in grace. Grace reigns in me. Grace reigns through righteousness. Praise God, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus made me a righteous man. And I'll be nothing but righteous for eternity. His blood has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He built me to reign because grace is what he's given me. All of it reigns through righteousness. Man. You ready to go? I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you what this is. I bet this is going to surprise you. It's love. Oh, yes, you know that pastor that all he can talk about is love. All he can talk about is his love affair with Jesus. That's right. And I'll tell you what, you need it. You need it. I appreciated sister telling me a long time back, let him love you. Let him love you. And I tell you that today, saints, let him love you. Let him love you. Listen to him say, let me love you. Yeah. Just let me love you. I'm amorous for you, but you need to hear him. You need to hear him say, you're my passion. You know? To pay attention, to long for that passion. Amen. I love that Jesus loves me. And I'll tell you, as you grow in this knowledge of the love of Christ to you, you will pay attention to it. You'll believe it. You'll embrace it. You'll submit to that love. You'll let yourself become a prisoner of that love. But in Jesus' name, really, in Jesus' name right now, hear him say, let me embrace you. And embrace me. And embrace me as your bridegroom. Let me kiss you with the kisses of my mouth. Have you ever been still enough to hear his ravished heart beat? Has John laid his head upon the chest of the beloved Lamb? I hear his heart beat real fast for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let us let ultimate grace settle it. Amen? Let's just let it settle it for us. Let it give us its full power, faith and love. Grace does that. You can't. Grace is unmerited. It's a gift. Amen? See, this is the grace that gives you faith and gives you love. You can't work this. You can't try for this. You trust him. You just say thank you. That's how you receive a gift. That's how you receive a gift. You say thank you. This settles it. You get that faith and love and you begin to rest. You rest in his affections for your life. You rest in his desire and love for you. It's enough. Matter of fact, it's more than enough. It's everything. It's too much. And then you quit basing your relationship with God on how much you think you love. You understand what I'm saying? I love to tell him I love him. But I don't say that too much. I just thank him for loving me. I thank him that I know the love of Christ. I thank the Lord that I'm understanding his heart and I get resolved to allowing him to just embrace me. And it's his exceeding and abundant grace, and it's his ravished love that is for me. And praise be to God, I'm just confident in him. I'm confident in him. I truly believe him to give me my thoughts. I believe him to give me my strength. I believe him to give me my day. Everything. I trust him, Lord. If this is a door I'm going through, I'll walk through it. But Lord, I'm not enamored with the door. I'm not enamored with the path. I'm just enamored with you. And if you change this thing by the grace of God, Lord, don't let it matter to me. Being in love is not where you're going. It's who you're with. And hallelujah, he's with me. He's with me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. I've had some really neat things happen in my life, naturally speaking, really neat. I'm thankful for all of them. But the greatest gift, the only gift that matters, I got Jesus. I got him. He's got me. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for that. I was thinking about, and you always remember this guy. Maybe it was you. Probably was me too. But you know that guy that can't stop hoping for that girl and he thinks about her all the time. He does everything to get her attention. He brings her everything. He's right there at her beck and call, but she doesn't give him the time of day. She ignores him. It's almost like, yet it never phases him. You go to that guy and say, "No, listen, she don't like you. She just don't like you." But he just stays with it. He hangs in there, and true love can't help but love. True love can't help itself. And I'll tell you what, he can't. Jesus is in love. He even tells you in the Word of God all over, but he says he can't deny himself. This is God saying that. Are you listening? Are you listening to him? Listen to him. Listen to him tell you that right now. I can't deny myself you. I can't deny myself you. He abides faithful still. And the best part, as we wrap this up, the best part is when it really finally hits you. When you believe and take the ultimate grace that is all yours. You believe the Word of God and all of the things the Holy Ghost has spoken to you from the very moment you said, "I'll go." He's told you all of these different ways and stories of how he loves you, how he's just head over heels about you. But when that finally hits you, you'll love just like him. You really will. You'll actually become the pursuer of Jesus. Believe it or not, this is what this is doing today. We're pursuing him. You become like the Shulamite. I got to get him. I got to find him. Huh? You'll begin to seek him with the passion of two armies. She wasn't just one, she was two. The devotion of a first love and a first love only. That's what the partakers of Paul's grace do. By the grace of God, that's what we do because grace does it in us. That's him willing and doing of his good pleasure. That's when grace reigns through righteousness. That's what this ultimate grace finally does, doesn't it? It just sets us off. I'm a vessel prepared a foreign to glory. And the way that that takes that throne together with him, all grace. Do you really believe in all grace? I mean, really, are you that confident in all grace? By the grace of God, I want us to be confident completely in all grace. And I'm talking about the grace of God that was with the Apostle Paul. That by the grace of God, we are partakers of that same grace. That grace that is with us. Praise the Lord. Lord, just increase our faith in this. Isn't this amazing? I really, receiving this week and over the last few weeks, I just sat there. Oh my goodness. I don't know if I'm here today or over there. I really don't care. It don't matter. Because I'll tell you what, I'm looking for that next breath, that next twinkle. And I'm going to see him. People say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what. We're just going to love. I know some way, somehow, I'll never stop embracing him because he's never stopped embracing me. You have it. You have all that grace. Amen. Let's be confident in it and win him. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, my. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Truly beyond expression of gratitude today. Truly what you have brought us into, Lord. All you, all your strength, all your might, all your power, all your love, all your doing. Lord, thank you that as even the very beginning of our salvation, you said, I forgave your iniquities for my sake. You loved us that much. This whole plan of God was about what you desired. And Lord, thank you. You desire us. Oh my, what a love story. What a love story. What a love story. And I do pray for every life that's hearing this morning. It is time. It's time. It's time, Lord. God, let me just take the grace that you have poured upon me. Bring this grace with faith and love of the Apostle Paul. Lord, the grace that will present one thing, the presenting of that glorious church unto himself. The readied wife, the bride, the wife of the Lamb of God. We give you all the praise and thanksgiving. And Lord, may you come today. In Jesus' name, amen.